thank you so much for joining us on Perform.
My pleasure, man. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me to Perform.
Yeah. So, you know, I discovered you through your stage selling, through, you know, watching Dan Lok talk about you, watching Russell talk about you. Give us some insight on, like, when you started, how you started stage selling. You know, give us a little bit of background on that.
Yeah, so I started stage selling back in 2003 because up until that time, I started as an entrepreneur in 1985 in a network marketing company, and I was absolutely horrible. I was like the worst salesman in the history of the world, and I know that's true because from the time I got started in October of 1985, it took me 18 months till April of 1987 before I made my first sale.
Wow.
But I did what most people wouldn't do. I lasted through that learning curve, and I didn't quit. I was willing to be bad long enough to get good. But see, and a lot of people say that you got to be bad, be willing to be bad long enough to get good. But you also have to take the actions while you're still bad, so you get that feedback. Feedback's the breakfast of champions. And a lot of people don't even realize. I know you didn't ask me this question, but it just made me think of this. One of the biggest reasons people don't succeed is because they resist the very activity, the only activity that can bring them the success they desire. I stayed in the game. I did presentation no after no after no after no after no until I finally got a yes. And I said, "What'd you say?" And from that point on, I began to make sales because I learned all the ways that wouldn't work until I finally got to the only thing I had left was ways that would.
What advice would you give me in sort of like a quick, you know, form on stage selling?
So you can probably see I have on my golf hat, right?
Yeah.
So stage selling and golf are very similar. In fact, selling and golf are very similar. In golf, it's very counterintuitive. What feels right is probably wrong. In selling, what feels right is probably wrong. And so in stage selling, the biggest mistake I see people making when they're trying to sell from the stage or trying to sell one-on-one is the fact they're trying to make a sale. See, when I'm selling, I don't ever try to make a sale. I just serve at the highest level, but I also create feelings in the people listening to me that make them desire to buy. So people only do things for one reason, Jason. That's because they feel like it. So my job, if I'm selling to you, is not to get you to buy from me. My job is to get you to feel like buying from me. And they're very different because the more I try to get you to buy from me, the less you feel like buying from me.
And do you have, like, when you've wrapped up your speech, do you have sort of like a call to action that you would use?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have several calls. Yeah, I have different calls to action depending on what I'm selling,
yeah,
what the price points are, what environment I'm selling in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I always have calls to action for sure.
Like, let's say I came to you as a client, you know, and I said, help me. I want to stage sell. I have no problem, you know, creating this charisma and creating, you know, getting the people excited. But I'm having a problem with, you know, the call to action. How do I get people to actually take action and go and buy my product?
Well, I think the biggest reason people have a difficult time with that part of it is because they make the presentation that they are giving separate from the presentation that they are doing. So they present about one thing, and then when they make the offer, it's not even like when most presenters that I see present. They present to impress people, right? And then they attempt to make a sale of a thing because they're hoping the people will be impressed enough to buy their thing. So I don't do that at all. My presentation is a part of the close. The entire presentation is part of the close. And what I mean by that, believe it or not, is not that I'm suddenly saying, okay, buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. That has nothing to do with it. So first, what I'm going to do is I'm going to enroll the people. I'm going to enroll them into being an active participant in my presentation. So that's the first thing that I'm going to do. And it doesn't matter if I'm selling one-on-one or if I'm selling one on 10,000 or one on 30,000. The first thing I'm going to do is get them to enroll into participating in my presentation with me. The second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to keep them engaged in that presentation because I know that people don't do things for my reasons, they do them for their own. So if I can figure out a way to get them to adopt my reasons as theirs, when it comes time for them to buy, they're not buying because I want them to buy, they're buying because they want to buy.
Wow.
So I get them engaged. But the third thing is, is I educate the people. I teach them something. This is the only way I know how to say it. I teach them something that blows their mind.
I mean that
absolutely blows their mind. They're like, I never heard anything like this before in my life. So I teach them something. So that's what the educational piece is about. I teach them something that blows their mind, and I teach them something they can use that blows their mind. And I teach them something that makes them realize that I know what I'm talking about. In fact, when I'm teaching people, they feel like I know more about what I'm teaching than anybody they've ever listened to. I don't mean that to pat myself on the back. It's just, it's a system, right? And so I educate the people, and then the last thing I do is I empower them to buy. Because it's not about, because by the time I get done enrolling them, engaging them, and educating them, they desire to buy. But for some reason or another, most people don't have any autonomy. They don't feel like they have personal power. They don't feel like I can make a decision without my husband, without my wife, without the milkman, the mailman, the dog catcher, or, you know, some getting permission from somebody else, because we've lived in an industrial age permission-based society for so long. So I empower them to be able to make a decision. And then when I empower them, I move out of their way and let them take advantage of the offer they desire to buy.
Well, you know, for my audience who's probably wondering, why am I focused so much on the speaking? I just want to let you guys know, you know, I've got people like Dan Locke, who's an amazing speaker, who comes to Myron, who's given a testimonial about selling from stage. So this information, I think, is crucial to my audience, because I mean, for anybody who's out there who wants to get into speaking, I think speaking is a big part of building your brand. And I think that it's, you know, a humongous aspect for anybody out there who's, you know, should be looking into speaking, because I think speaking is everything, to be honest.
Well, if you desire to multiply your income and divide your workload, there is no arena in the world that's better than speaking. I make more money than, and I'm not bragging. I'm just a regular person who figures some things out. So, okay. So don't think that I think I'm hot stuff. I'm not hot stuff. I'm just a regular guy who figured things out. The stuff I figured out, that's hot stuff. Right. And so I make more money than brain surgeons.
Wow.
I make more money than oncologists. I make more money than neurosurgeons. And what's amazing is, because I understand business at a really high level, because I've been in business since 1985, I should know something, right? In whatever that is, 35 years, I should know something, right? The fact is that I have the ability to have a business that does millions and millions and millions of dollars a year in sales, and I work part-time. Like, hustle and grind. You know, everybody talks about hustle and grinding. I don't hustle or grind. Mm-hmm. But I think that most people, like, I look at nature and I think, okay, this is the way God set it up, so I'm going to go with that flow. There's nothing in nature that hustles or grinds. So I'm not going to hustle or grind. What I'm going to do is I'm going to focus on my being, and my doing will pour out of my being, and my having will pour out of my doing. For instance, what does a tree have to do to grow apples?
Well, it has to grow, number one. It has to be watered. It has to be taken care of, you know.
All that's good, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. But the first thing that it has to do in order to grow apples is it has to be an apple tree.
This is true.
I know. And you see how simple that is? Like, you've never seen – I live in Florida. I've never seen an apple growing on an orange tree. I've never seen a lemon growing on an orange tree. Why? Because in order for something to produce something on the outside, it has to first have that seed, that genesis, that DNA on the inside. So most people who are working as entrepreneurs, the reason they're hustling and grinding is because they're focused on they're focusing on the having. But what they should be focused on is the being. If you will take time and become the person who can do the thing, when you do the thing, the doing of the thing will produce everything that you're supposed to have.
Has there ever been a moment in your career of speaking where you felt fear, you know?
Oh, fear? No, no.
Okay. Has there ever
been? I thought you were going to ask me something else. No, okay. I've never felt fear.
What about where you just haven't felt like going on, something in your life has happened to you, could have been sick, whatever. What did you do mentally, physically to get yourself to perform, to go and do the thing that you had to do?
So a couple things. One, the reason I say I've never felt fear when it comes to speaking, I get to chomping at the bit when it's time for me to go on stage, right? Right. And I've spoken on stage in front of 30,000 people. So I have no anxiety in that whatsoever, because I already know what's going to happen. And so the reason people are, and I've done this as an illustration with people live on stage, where I've said, okay, who here is afraid of public speaking? The idea of public speaking makes you nervous. And people raise their hand. Who would like for me right now to overcome that fear for you forever? Somebody raise their hand. Okay, come up here on the stage with me. So I bring them up on stage. I whisper something in their ear. And then I'll get them to turn around and address the audience. And they turn around and they address the audience fearlessly. And I'll usually have them just do, quote, Mary had a little lamb, right? Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And I'll have everybody clap and cheer for them. So what happens is, when I bring them up on stage, I'll tell the audience, this person who's got a real fear of public speaking, they're going to speak to you in a minute. Regardless of what they talk about, I want you to give them like the craziest, wildest standing ovation ever. Okay. And then I whisper in their ear, when you are done, now the people out there can't hear me. When you're done, I want you to do you know Mary had a little lamb? Yeah. Okay. I want you to quote Mary had a little lamb. I want you to quote it like you mean it, like you feel it. And when you're done, I'm going to give you $100 and these people are going to clap for you. They're like, okay. They turn around, Mary had a little lamb. Whose fleece was white as snow, Mary, everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go, the crowd erupts. I say, now, the reason I was able to help her overcome her fear is because the reason people have fear about public speaking is because they don't know what's going to happen. Mm. And the reason they don't know what's going to happen is because it's an unknown for them. As soon as I made the outcome a known for her, it was easy for her to get over her fear of public speaking. When I teach people how to sell from the stage, one of the reasons they're afraid to attempt to sell from the stage, what if nobody buys? I teach them how to know what's going to happen. Mm. Down, I mean, for a lot of, down to the numbers, like on the low end, my students close 20% of the room, and I don't care what the price point is. It doesn't matter. Mm. And so the reason that happens is because I have a system of persuasion. Now, I want you to notice the word I just used, persuasion. Now, most people in sales even, don't understand the difference between persuasion and convincing. Convincing is what people resort to because they failed to persuade. Convincing is when I attempt to get you to do something I desire you to do for my reasons. Persuasion is when I help you make a decision you already desire to make for your own reasons. Mm. And so when I'm actually selling, I am selling you on you. I'm convincing, I'm attempting to sell you on me. So it's for me in selling, it's never about me. Like, I was talking to one of my inner circle students this morning, and I told her, even like in an offer, like when most people who sell coaching programs, create coaching programs, they make themselves a part of the offer. I don't make myself a part of the offer, because if I am your solution, then I am your problem. Because I'm not going to be there with you all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, my son is 6'2", wow, probably weighs 180 pounds. My daughter's, and he's 31 years old or 30 years old. My daughter's 29 years old. What would I look like walking around carrying them on my hips? It'd be insane. Right? These two grown people, I'm walking around carrying them, right? Well, eventually, they have to learn how to walk. My granddaughter's, she'll be one year old next month. She's already learned how to walk. Why? So nobody has to carry her around. So most, quote, teachers, gurus, experts, one of the biggest problems they have is they make their students codependent instead of independent. And so I don't do that, because I am not, principals don't care who you are, how old you are, what color you are, what gender you are. Principles don't care. All principles always work the same for everybody. So I teach people the principles, and then I let them go and do the thing. That way I don't become their biggest problem, because I was their biggest solution. Does that make sense?
You love to empower people. I mean, that's your thing, is empower people. And I think for a lot of people who don't know, I mean, you have polio, right?
I had polio as an infant. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you walk with, on your leg, what is it
metal,
called?
Big metal brace. Big metal brace. I don't know if you can see it or not.
Yeah.
Big piece of hunk of metal.
And
metal brace, yeah.
And you are a black belt, correct?
A black belt in martial arts, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't take any excuses. That's a very powerful, like, to be out there with these things sort of working against you. But having the mindset to get a black belt is amazing. So I think, you know, when people are probably working with you, you know, your thought process is, well, like, you've achieved it all, like, from – in terms of a mindset, like going and getting a black belt, getting in front of stage, walking with this. I mean, these are some incredible things.
Yeah, they're my challenges, but everybody has theirs, right? Everybody has their challenges, right? But it's the challenges in life that make you a champion. If you don't have any challenges and you don't have any challengers, you can't be a champion. Nobody ever won a Super Bowl playing against no one, right? Usually when you win the Super Bowl, it's because you played against the best of the best and won. So I know something that a lot of people don't know, and that is everything that happens to me happens for me, even though it doesn't always feel that way.
Let me ask you a question. I want to go a little deep now. What is it that you want to do now in your life? Like, what is something that you want to accomplish that you haven't yet accomplished?
Well, if you're talking about in business, one of the things that I desire to accomplish in business, our next phase of our business, we started out B2C, business to consumer. And then we went B2B, which we are right now, we're B2B. Our next move is B2G, business to government. My next move is to teach governments how to solve their national problems. That's my next move. And that's where we're headed. We're headed towards coaching governmental leaders in different countries around the world on how to make their nations run better. So that's our next move. So that's answer number one. So that's my business goal. As far as my family goal is concerned, is to continue to build our family business. So my business, a lot of people say, the worst people we ever work with in your world is your family. It's not been my experience. My experience is the best people in the world to work with in my family. So my wife and I, we own this training company, right? And my children work in the business. My daughter and my son-in-law work in our company, right? And my son has his own agency, but his agency does work for our company. One of my brothers sells for me. He's a closer. Another one of my brothers is my personal assistant. I want to grow my business. I've got six brothers. Probably, I'm going to guess on both sides between myself and my wife, probably 30 to 40 nieces and nephews. Build our business to the point where we have work to do, where if anybody in our family needs a job and is willing to do the work, then we can hire them and they can work for our company. So that's a family goal, right? Another family goal that we have, something we're working on right now, is we're working on creating our own family coin. It's a gold coin, and it's got, well, I won't tell you about the design of it, but anyway, we're working on developing our own gold family coin. And when I say family coin, it'll be like actually gold coins that we'll be able to use as money, but we'll be able to invest in our own family's gold coins as part of our portfolio. So that's another financial goal. Then as far as like activity goals, I'm a golfer. I'm a very passionate golfer. I don't know if you play golf or not, Jason, but I play only on the days that end in Y. so I'll be going later today. Yeah. But I'm a single digit handicap golfer, but one of my goals is to become a scratch golfer or to become a plus one, plus two. Yeah. To become that level of golfer because I love golf. It's an exercise in self-mastery. So those are some of my goals.
Are you passionate about something to do with politics? Like if you could change something in the world and get behind something, is there anything that you would want?
No, I'm not passionate about politics. I don't watch the news. What I would love to help people do spiritually is I would love to help people come to the awareness and the discovery that the Bible is not a book about religion, but it's a book about government. And it's a book about a king, a kingdom, a royal family, and the colonization of a foreign land called Earth. And that when we apply the principles of the Bible, not from a religious perspective, but from a practical perspective, when we apply the principles from the Bible to any aspect of our life, that aspect of our life will work better.
I like that. That's amazing. And have you, like in your career, have you ever had a situation where it's overwhelmed you, where you think, tell us a little bit about that.
So, okay. Well, I'll tell you the whole story in the time that we have here. And if I'm okay going a little over if you're okay.
Yeah.
So guys, first of all, I'm in a hotel room. My mother-in-law had knee surgery on Monday, 2 days ago. And my wife and I came down here to spend 2 weeks with her to help her recover. So that's why I'm in a hotel room. In Texas instead of in my house. So anyway.
Yeah.
So yes. So in fact, what we had, life works in cycles, Jason. Mm. And we had literally went through 7 years of annual trauma, wow, one right after another. And it started in 2007 and it went all the way up to 2014.
Wow.
Okay. So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, through that, we started turning things around in 2014, turned around even better in 2015, 2016, it really started to take off. 2017, we got back in the saddle again, like really in the saddle. So yeah. What happened, and I won't give you all the details, but I'll just give you enough of the details. 2007, in April of 2007, my oldest son was in a car accident. Hmm. And he died from the injuries he sustained in that car accident when he was 20 years old.
Wow.
So that was the first, like, that was the most surreal experience of my life. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that was first. And I spoke at my son's funeral because I didn't want somebody else to mess up what that meant. And so I believe that eternity is real. And anyway, so that was the first step. That was 2007. 2008. I was an entrepreneur. I sold coaching programs, et cetera, et cetera. I had a bunch of clients that got abducted by aliens. And I know they were abducted by aliens because they owed me over $250,000 and I never heard from them again. So, I had a bunch of people who owed me a lot of money who just disappeared.
Wow.
So our income went from 120,000 to 280,000 a month down to like 30,000 a month. And we had a very big lifestyle back then. We had crazy big lifestyle. I mean, crazy big to me, right? Like my lifestyle is very simple now. Like I've got no car payments. I live in a very modest house and, you know, I'm an employee of my company and I only make, you know, we only make about $3,000 a week personally, my personal income. My business makes way more than that. I mean, our business generated, I don't even know how much so far today, but I'm sure it generated over $50,000 today. So, but I only pay myself a salary. So, but back then, like my house payment was $8,500 a month. We had $3,500 a month in car payments. We had $15,000 a month in employees, not including myself. And it's just like money just flying out the window. Right. Mm. And our income went from hundreds of thousands a month, down to like 20,000-30,000 a month. I'm like, oh, I got to figure something out. Mm. Right. That was 2008.
Wow.
So 2009, I did something I swore I'd never do again. I got started in a network marketing company, built a team in 4 months, and we were making 40,000 a month from the company. Wow. I started training people in the company. We're making another 100,000 a month. We're back in the saddle again, right? 2009. Wow. Later that year, the company made some stupid mistakes. That income went from 40,000 a month down to nothing in about 5 months.
Wow.
So like, oh, now we're starting over again. Okay. Then 2010, my accountant moved from the United States to Australia. 4 months after he moved, I got a letter from the IRS and I got audited.
Wow.
2010. They told us we owed them $1,065,000. I didn't have $1,065,000. And I didn't have an accountant who could go back and prove that because I don't know anything about accounting, right? Mm. So that was 2010. 2011, my mom died. 2012, we had to do a short sale on our house. We moved from Pennsylvania to Tampa, Florida on borrowed money. Like I'd borrow money from my brother, from friends. I was the guy who was the richest guy everybody in my circle knew, right? And now I'm like struggling to eke out a meager existence. I got to borrow money to move out of town, right? We short sold our house that we bought for $1,025,000. We sold for $630,000. So we lost $400,000 on that deal. And then we moved to Florida, had to rent a house. My credit was screwed. I had to give back. I had a Mercedes CLS 500. I mean, I kept that one. And I had an S550. I gave that back. I had a repo on my credit. And just like, ugh. And then from 2012 to 2013, for 2 years, I had a really good friend who was one of my students who loaned me $4,000 a month so I could live because in order for me to have a settlement with the IRS, I had to go broke and make a deal.
Wow.
So now I've got 2 years where I wasn't making any money. I was just living on borrowed money. He's loaning me $4,000 a month. Right? Wow. So finally, it's all over. 2014, we settle for $12,822.
Wow.
We're good. except for one thing. I am exhausted emotionally. I'm exhausted mentally. I don't even know if I want to be an entrepreneur anymore. I'm like, man, all I'm going to do is go make this money. They're going to take it from me again. I mean, I had so much internal conflict going on. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I know I didn't want to go through what I just went through again. But we joined a coaching program in 2014. It wasn't the right coaching program. Joined Russell's Inner Circle 2015. And I remember the first time we went to an Inner Circle meeting in Boise, me and my son and my daughter, because I negotiated a deal where all three of us could go. We had to pay a little more money, but it was worth it. And we had to pay $30,000 a year. And I didn't know where I was going to get the money. I gave them we're going to do this, right? So we joined Russell's Inner Circle and things started to change. And it was, we had this trajectory. It was like, you know, and then finally by 2017, we hit our stride. We got our 2 Comma Club Award. We were back making $1 million a year. 2018 was better than 2017. 2019 was way better than that. This year already, we've already made more money than we made the last year. I mean, it's just, so business is booming again, but there was a time for about 7-8 months or more where I didn't even know if I wanted to be an entrepreneur anymore. And that was not that long ago. That was back in 2014, 2015.
Wow.
2013, 14. Yeah.
So yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So was there something that during that time, what other than Russell's coaching program, was there anything else that you did to keep the mindset going and to keep the confidence going? Like, can you give us
a good friend of mine, Delatoro McNeil, who's a speaker who also lives in Tampa. He gave me some opportunities to speak like 2013, 2014. So I did a couple of talks, made some sales. My friend who was loaning me $4,000 a month, he hired me to go out and do sales for his company. He teaches stock market investing. So I'd travel around and sell their program and they would pay me commissions based on what I sold. So we started slowly getting back on the entrepreneurial horse. But Russell's Inner Circle was the thing that was the catalyst. Russell's a genius. I believe he's the most brilliant marketer alive, maybe the most brilliant marketer ever. And I have no qualms with that whatsoever. I'll tell anybody that. I've even told Russell that multiple times. And but the thing that really hit me as when I was in the Inner Circle is we had all these high level entrepreneurs who were in Russell's Inner Circle, and they would get up and present, and they would ask people in the audience for advice. And there was usually 50 of us in the room, and I'd say, "Well, I think you need to do this, 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 and this." They're like, "Oh my goodness, I never heard anything like that before." And I'm thinking to myself, "Me and my kids, we're staying in a AmeriSuite hotel because it's only $70 a night, and all these people in this room are making more money than me, and they think my ideas are good." And the fact that all these high level business people thought my ideas were good, that gave me a level of newfound confidence that I had not had in years. Mm. And that was the catalyst for me that helped me realize, oh, I have something to offer to high level business people.
Now, where you're at right now with, you know, with Russell's coaching, what did you learn? Like, what can you give us like a quick tip? What was one thing that stood out for you joining Russell's coaching that you could share with us?
Yeah. Probably the same. Russell would say this to almost everybody in the Inner Circle. It's amazing how people will creatively avoid the easy money that's right in front of them, which is in the list they already have. So you got this list of people that follow you. They like you. They trust you. They know you. He said, and you're going out here doing all this other stuff. He said, first, take that big pile of money on the table that's in front of you, grab that and rake it all in, and then go do all that other stuff. Russell, this guy's he's so brilliant. Mm. Like, I've had so many good personal conversations with him, plus the stuff he teaches from stage. He's so brilliant at such a high level. Sometimes it's scary. He's so smart. It's like, Russell, are you secretly plotting to take over the world?
Mm. Well, did you have any questions for myself at all before we wrap up, or anything else you want to go over?
If I could give everybody who's listening to this podcast right now a piece of advice, what piece of advice would I give them? This is a piece of advice that I've shared. In fact, I'm going to give you 3 things that if you will do these 3 things, it will take your business to another level. Number 1, raise your prices. The most of the people listening to this, watching this right now, one of the biggest business problems they have, if you actually provide a solution for people, if you actually provide a solution for people, your prices are too low. Okay, that's number one, raise your prices. Number two, I remember having that conversation with Alex Hormozy. But when we were in the inner circle, I was like, Alex, dude, why are you giving them all that stuff for $4,000 a year? He's like, how much should I charge? I don't know. Double it, at least 8,000. And there's no difference between 8 and 10, charge them 10. He's like, what? And now the same thing that he used to sell for 4,000, he sells for 40,000. So raise your prices. And here's how you justify raising your prices. Stop making your offer about your pieces. It has 7 workbooks, 6 DVDs, 8 audios. So stop making it about the pieces. Stop making it about your person. Well, you're going to get so many hours of my time, you're going to run out of time. Don't make it about your process. Never make your offer about your process. I'm going to show you how to do, first thing I'm going to show you how to do this. And it has all this stuff. And then I'm going to show you how to do this. And then people are going to say, I don't think I can learn that. Never make it about your process. Always make your offer about your payoff. If the payoff that they're going to get is worth 10 times as much as the price, you have the right price. Okay? So if I can help you make $1 million this year, then my offer is worth $100,000. I have no problem charging you that. If my offer is worth $10 million to you, I have no problem charging you $1 million. Most people think it's about the pieces, their person, or their process. That's what the value is. The value is the payoff. More is not better. Faster is better. So less, and in that way, less is more. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
First and foremost, raise your prices. Number two, after you raise your prices, the second thing I'm going to say is this, make more offers. Too many people don't make enough offers. Like, you could multiply the amount of revenue that you're generating just by taking the number of offers you do in a year, do that many offers every month, take the number of offers you do in a month, do that number of offers every week, take the number of offers you do every week, do that number of offers every day, and your income catapults through the stratosphere. Make more offers. And the third thing I'm going to say is separate your revenue generation from your time. Time is not money. Time is infinitely more valuable than money. And if you are trading time for money, you will always come up on the losing side of that equation, and it doesn't matter how much you charge. Somebody wants to hire me to coach, like one-on-one coaching, $25,000 an hour. And I still don't want to do it. Why don't you want to do it? Because I don't get that hour back. And $25,000 is just $25,000. I can get $25,000 without even being there. I can't get that time back. So time is infinitely more valuable than money. If you think time is money, you're going to make two big mistakes. Number one, you're going to sell somebody a whole lot of your time for a little bit of their money. The second mistake you're going to make is you're going to waste a lot of time trying to save a little bit of money. When you understand that time is more valuable than money, you will stop selling your time and you'll start buying it back. You'll spend as much money as necessary to buy back the rest of your life. When I invested in Russell's inner circle, I didn't invest in Russell's inner circle to buy his time. I invested in Russell's inner circle to buy back my time. Like when you talked about Dan, when Dan bought into my speaking training program, he wasn't buying back his time. He wasn't buying my time. He was buying his time. And like within a month after he took that training, he did a live event. He did $5 million in sales.
Wow.
Dan Henry just did an event last weekend and initially did over $900,000, but when he takes all the payments and stuff and adds up, he did over $1 million in sales. When he paid me for my coaching program, he wasn't buying my time. He was buying back his time. Because now what used to take him several months, he did in a weekend.
Wow.
And that's why I pay somebody to work on my car and cut my grass and fix my house. And because every time I pay someone else, I am buying back hours, days, weeks, months, years of my life. Because the quality of your life is not measured by how many years of experience you have doing a thing, but by how many experiences you put in your years. When you buy back your time, if you used to go on vacation once a year, now you can go on vacation 7 times a year. And over the next 10 years, you can take 70 years worth of vacations.
Wow. Wow. I love that. That's an amazing piece of advice. And I think my viewers are going to love that. But I got to ask this one question because I've been seeing it this entire podcast. And I'm sure everybody else is seeing these rings of yours. You got to tell me the backstory. I've had them thrown in my face so many times. You got to tell me the story. You got to tell me the story. I know people are probably thinking the same thing I am.
Okay, so this ring. Okay, this ring is the name of my company is Skillionaire Enterprises Inc.
Yeah.
Because you have to have the skills that will make you millions. Okay. So the name of my company is Skillionaire, right? And you have to develop the skills. So that's my Skillionaire Millionaire ring. I bought a diamond from a guy, and it sat in my safe for 2 years. It's like 3-point-something carat diamond, right? It sat in my safe. I said to my wife, "You want me to make you a ring? Too big. I don't want a ring that big." I said, "Okay." So I'm at Cheesecake Factory, and go to the bathroom to wash my hands. I'm coming out of the bathroom. This guy's coming in the bathroom. He's got this diamond bezel watch. He's got a diamond band, diamond bezel. I'm like, dude, that is the most epic watch I've ever seen. Where'd you get it? He said, "Oh, I made it." "You made that watch? Like, what does that mean?" He said, "I'm a gemologist. I make jewelry." I said, "Really? I've got like a $50,000 diamond, and I would love for you to build a ring around it." So he said, "Okay." So we worked on the design. Like, I don't know if you can see this or not. So it has 138 smaller diamonds. Like, I don't know if you can see that or not. It's got 138 smaller diamonds.
Let's see the front. Ooh, ooh.
Right? Plus the big one.
That's
right?
Fancy. Yeah.
And so it's got them all over the sides and all over the – so anyway, so I had that ring built. So that's my Skillionaire Millionaire ring. This is my eight-figure ring. This is the ring that Russell gives you for having a funnel that does over $10 million in sales. So that's my eight-figure ring that goes with my eight-figure pack from ClickFunnels.
Nice. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what the rings are.
Well, I think I don't think you probably shared that before, have you? Is this new content?
What's that? The rings?
Yeah.
I've shared it before, but not all. I don't think about it. They're just like, I don't even notice them anywhere. It's so funny. It's so funny that I'm like, what is he about to say? I'm sure you noticed the whole podcast. I didn't notice it. So
well, because there's not much. There's this room, and then I keep getting the bling in the face.
I wear them so I don't lose them. Yeah.
So, yeah. Is there anything you wanted to talk about myself or anything else you want to go over before we wrap up today, Myra?
I just love the idea of your podcast, you know, Perform. And I would say to all of your audience out there that your best performance is going to come after your best preparation. So have your desire to prepare be as burning as your desire to perform.
Ooh, I love that. Where can people find information about you?
So I've got, if you want to find out, you want to see some case studies of my students, you want to see if you want to see some crazy case studies of my students, you can go to stagesellingsecrets.com and you'll see students. You'll see what Dan Locke has to say, Eileen Wilder, Russell Brunson. You see a bunch of people. Mm. And you'll see a bunch of people that aren't even on there. If you want to message me, if you want to contact me personally, don't do it on Facebook. Like, I don't even know how to use Facebook Messenger. Like, they've got too many different messenger things, boxes. So on Instagram, I'm at Myron Golden. So that's a good place if you want to like send me a message, and I answer all my own Instagram messages. I still do that. So, and sometimes it's, you know, 20, 30 messages a day, but I still answer all of my Instagram messages. So if you want to message me personally, you can do it on Instagram. I've got a free Facebook group where I teach practical principles of success from the Bible. It's called Bible Success Secrets. That's on Facebook. You can follow me at any one of those places. And if you don't like any of those, Google Myron Golden, and I'm sure you'll find something that might be up.
Perfect. Listen, thanks so much, Myron. Honestly, it's been a pleasure.